shut your eyes, and I will give you a big surprise.
Crossed over, if I ever have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet, on the sunny side of the street.
Believe we have to work today.
Why is that?
Well, it's just disrespectful.
Spring fever.
Not just that. Dorothy McGuire is dead.
What?
I think everybody should take off with the McGuire sisters. You have to be an old codger to know who the McGuire sisters are. And I said, yeah, here we go.
Yum, yum.
Here they are. Yum, yum.
Yum, yum. Yum, yum.
Yum, yum.
All the songs,
ooh, banana
of all the songs you could have picked, this is one I've never heard of.
The first one I found.
Try another one.
How about those background singers?
It's going to take
that's not a good example of McGuire sisters. The other two are still alive. Dorothy McGuire is dead at 84. The other sisters are 81 and 86.
Wow.
So singing must be good for you, singing with your sisters. And I'm not a singer. Tina is, but they claim the most perfect harmony is sibling harmony. Here we go. Yeah, okay, big hit. Sugar time.
Sugar in the morning, sugar in the evening, sugar
I remember this song.
Yeah.
I mean, I probably don't remember the original.
Big hit, I think, in the 50s.
Honey in the morning.
All right, that's the McGuire system.
I think it was a commercial for CNH Sugar.
I think it was, and not just that one, but another one was probably used in a commercial. There's still Christine and Phyllis left. I'm actually, boy, do I not get to say this very often. I'm too young to know much about them because their period that they were, you know, very successful and were popular.
You were just a baby.
Before I was, yeah, really.
Who was on
anything more than a little bitty kid?
Who was the were the sisters that were on the Lawrence Welk show?
No, those were the Lennon sisters.
Oh, the Lennon sisters.
Okay. Oh,
and then
I
you had the Andrews sisters before. If you watch any old World War II movies or whatever, or before the, I think
yeah, Boogie Woogie Bugle
exactly.
Boy and Don't Sit Under the
Apple
Tree.
That's the Andrews sisters, and then the Lennon sisters.
What did they do?
Came along, Lawrence Welk.
I know, but what songs did they
hear? Oh, they didn't have any.
They didn't.
That
yeah, they
I know of
did.
Any big hits. Look, the Lawrence Welk's people, none of those people that I know of ever had a big hit. That's what's so interesting. The hugely popular show with some people that were pretty talented and some that were just corny, but they didn't have any, they weren't big stars, you know, because
yeah.
I don't think he allowed them to be. I think you had to be part of the team. For Mr. Welk, nobody was to get, you know, the big spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
And even though they had some talented people, welcome to the large morning show in the afternoon. The phones are ringing. And normally that doesn't happen right away, but it's happening now because somebody here probably made a mistake.
Could've... Will somebody answer that damn phone?
You know what, Lauren? I don't like that. The way you talk to us.
I could lose my job the way I just talked to her.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
he's got the power.
I'm fed up with it. I think you are, too. We'll see what these phone calls are about. Welcome to the show. It's the 10th, which means, of course, tomorrow's the big day, 9/11. And tonight and tomorrow, you will relive over and over and over the planes going into the towers, the firefighter stories, as you should.
I feel like I have to watch that stuff.
You should.
Yeah.
There'll be people who say, oh, man, do we have to go through this again? Yeah, we do.
Especially those, was it the two French brothers that did that?
Right. The documentary?
Catch that, yeah.
Man, if you haven't seen that, that's what you have to see.
Well, and I don't know if they all do it, but my neighbor is a firefighter, and he puts up a special flag, United States flag, and then he has a post with an 8x10 with a photo and the name of one of the first responders that died, and it has like a little bio.
Good for him.
But I thought he said that they do that. A lot of the firefighters do that. So they may be around town on people's lawns.
No, they should. We should never forget that. That was a horrible day. And I'm going to take a couple of calls, but then we're going to talk about, man, I don't know if any or how many of you caught 60 Minutes last night, but it came out of nowhere. I didn't see any promotion for this guy. The guy who wrote No Easy Day, the SEAL who shot Bin Laden, was on 60 Minutes last night in some of the greatest disguise makeup I've ever seen. He looked just like a regular guy, but I promise you, he looks nothing like that. And they altered, they changed the register of his voice. What an incredible story this guy told. And he had a little mock-up, little model of Bin Laden's compound. And he stood there and showed you with little model helicopters exactly how they came in, how high, what direction, how long they were on the ground. I think it was 36 or 38 minutes total. And step by step, every single phase of what happened that night. And I'm sure there are a lot of people who are critical of that, but I got to tell you, I think that it's sometimes good to know details like that, because without it, you don't really ever have an appreciation for what these people do. You don't have to roll anybody over to do it. We don't need the names of SEAL Team 6. And in fact, I think it was wrong for the administration to narrow it down to SEAL Team 6. And the parents of those SEALs and the SEALs themselves, many of them are not happy with the current administration. They're mad and they're upset. They say, and I heard two of the parents interviewed this morning, there was no need to narrow it down to SEAL Team 6, because that now you have a specific group of people. And if you have a cell in this country, Al-Qaeda, Taliban, whatever, now they know what group to try to seek out and go after. If this guy himself wants to write a book and be ID'd, which he has, and that's going to happen. You can't write a book and think that nobody's ever going to know you're not really Mike Owen, which was his pen name. You're going to get found out. For CBS last night on 60 Minutes, hats off to them, because they said that even though a cable news channel, and I think it was CNN, named him, they said, we won't. We refuse to do that. And
is that the only reason? Normally, if you're a SEAL, it doesn't really matter if people know, right? It's only because of that mission.
There are
one
a lot of
mission.
People who are SEALs and people know they're SEALs.
Okay.
But that mission, I don't think you want the world to know who you were. Now, why he chose to do, and it was an interesting question too that Scott Pelley asked him. He said, how do your brother SEALs feel about you writing this book? And he said, extremely supportive. In fact, they said, if there's anybody who can tell this story accurately, it's you. So knock yourself out. Good for you. He said he had no flack from them. I think it's either a really, I don't know if it's a brave thing to do. It may be a stupid thing to do. And I don't know why he was compelled to do it. I think part of it is that the White House, their version of what happened is not what happened. And if nothing else, and so they're mad at him, he's mad at them. And anytime you call out an administration, I don't care which one it is, they're all liars. Every single one has been full of liars. And when you call them out, whether it's the Pat Tillman thing or this thing, and tell the public flat out their version is not true, You got some big ones. I mean, you really do. I don't think that I would want the feds looking at me as closely as they're going to be looking at.
I wish somebody write a book about that. What was it, Fort Hood shooting, and tell what's really going on there?
Well, the difference is there was no assigned team. This was a mission, and that wasn't a mission.
But it could be somebody higher up that really knows why this guy got through and why nothing's being done.
Yeah, and I think they just discredit him and say that what he's saying isn't true. It's awfully hard to discredit this guy because he was there, and he has other guys who back him up and say that's exactly what happened. So it's kind of hard to do. If you get a higher up saying, yeah, here's what really happened with this, what's the guy's name, Hassad or something, that major, I think that all of a sudden it would be easy to say, well, you know, that's his version. And then they could show a paper trail of how he had a grudge against the military, whatever. This was an incredible mission that was 10 years in the making. 10 years. And their information, another thing I thought was very interesting, their intel, what they went by almost exclusively to determine whether or not he was in that house, was the information they were given by a woman in the CIA. And they said, when they asked her, before we do this, how sure are you that he's in that compound? She said, 100%. And she was the go-to person.
And, Wasn't it the Pakistani doctor, too, that was the informant?
He was the informant, but there was... That could have been a setup. See, that could have been to lead them in for an ambush, and he wasn't really there. This gal with the CIA studied all the intel, and she said, I'm telling you, he's in there. And what was good to find out was that this stinking scumbag Osama bin Laden led what seemed to be a pretty miserable life. He was in that building, never left that building for years, and they said they would conduct surveillance on it from a satellite telescope. And they could take pictures from space and see that he would go out and walk around in just a square, in a little courtyard, just walk around and around and around and around. That's the only exercise he got.
So he was a prisoner pretty much.
He was a prisoner of his own criminality or whatever. He knew that if he got out of there, his life is not in. And in the end, he got what he deserved anyway. But when he talked about going with the body to a hangar, they took the body into a hangar. When they got there, this lady with the CIA was there, and they showed her the body, and she just started sobbing. It was like the end of this 10-year mission. I mean, I can't even imagine what that had to feel like, to see his dead body. And the guy who wrote the book was the first guy to shoot him, and he was also the guy who took pictures of him. And when he talked about having to wipe his face off to take the pictures, to ID him, and then they took swabs, saliva swabs, and blood samples for DNA, that they riddled this guy. They had to wipe so much blood just to even see his face.
Oh, on the ground, after they first got him, they pumped a bunch more into him.
Because he moved.
Yeah.
And once he moved, they just threw about 8 or 10 more into him.
Yeah.
Nice.
I don't know how else to react except applause. This piece of crap ruined our country for the last 11 years. You think about all the stuff that we have to put up with now because of this guy. All that airplane boarding BS we have to do, that's all because of this guy. Every time somebody looks funny or looks at you sideways or sets down a backpack, oh my goodness, here come the bombs. That's because of this guy. It changed everything for us. Thank goodness. And he went into, like, I mean, how they carried the body out, they threw it in a pickup truck. It was just riveting stuff. If you didn't see it, you can go to YouTube and type in 60 Minutes Osama bin Laden.
They might have the restricted episode. The things, but I'm sure.
No, I watched it on YouTube again.
Oh, you did watch it. Okay.
After it was over, I went back to YouTube.
Right? He has a book.
Yeah, but watching him interviewed is pretty powerful. The only thing I would say is I think it probably will hurt book sales, because now that I've seen him tell the story and watched him do a little demonstration of the compound, I don't know why I need to
read. That's better than the book.
Yeah, I don't need a lot. Here, when I read a book and it starts out that this particular SEAL grew up in, Gary, Indiana, and at the young age of 8, he had a paper route. I don't care about all that. Some people do. That's the part of the book I don't care about. And what his parents did, where he went to school. Nah, let's get to it. Get to where you blow the brains out of this guy. Get to where it's nighttime and you have a helicopter problem.
But people who read would like it the other way. Because I think, knowing, seeing him and him describing it, then when I read the book, I could picture it. So,
but you can't picture him, because what's weird is what I was watching wasn't him. I told my wife, I said, if you met him tomorrow, you would not have any idea that was him, because they can do amazing things in Hollywood with makeup and lighting and altering your voice. He didn't sound like that. He didn't look like that. It's a tremendous 60 minutes yesterday. Phones are already ringing. We're going to take a couple of calls. 314-969-KTRS. Toll free, 888-550-KTRS. Blind Bob is on the phone. Hello, Blind Bob.
Hello, Frank.
How are you? Where have you been?
I've been working. And
we haven't heard from you for a year.
It's been a while, actually. I think it's a little bit quicker than that. But
not
I've been
far off.
You know, while you're on now, I don't get it. I used to work, when I worked from home, I could listen to the whole show.
Mm-hmm.
But now I work, now that I work for a great company, the Lighthouse, it means that I have to be out, I'm at work. And then by the time I get home, because of transportation. You just it's usually 4:30, 5 o'clock. So,
well,
but
fine.
I do listen. But I do listen to the show when I get home.
Well, Blind Bob, get us caught up with your life.
Well, I am still working for the Lighthouse. By the way, I did see that 60 Minutes interview.
Well, you didn't see it. You're blind.
Well, that's all right. I saw it.
Didn't you think that was a fascinating interview?
I did think it was very fascinating. And luckily, Jeannie, who told me to tell you all hi for her, told me that there were models. Those are things that you don't. I mean, luckily, Jeannie was there and watching.
And you know what, though? If you heard the interview, it was 80%. Audio anyway.
It was.
It really was. To not
That's
have been able to see the model of the compound,
right.
That's pretty easy to describe.
Right. It was very good. I thought it was very well done.
Now, I can't remember. Were you born sighted? I can never remember.
No. Well, what happened was I was born premature.
Okay, but you were blind from birth?
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so even describing a compound, like if somebody said he walked around hedges or shrubs, you don't know what a shrub looks like.
I don't know. Well, I know what hedges and shrubs look like, but I don't realize. My problem is I don't realize how big or how. I mean, they can tell me how many feet it is. They can tell me how big, and I can only picture.
Okay, but when you say you know what a shrub looks like, you mean
right.
by feeling it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So I know what they look like, and I know what flowers and plants look like. But colors, you know, I have no idea.
And again, a flower is just because you've touched a flower.
Right.
Smelled it.
Yeah. Right.
I got to tell you something. You're a guy. One day, we got to do like an hour or 2 hours of just this kind of stuff because I'm
fascinated. We'll schedule that, and I'll call in.
All right, Gina,
unless you want me to come in.
Well, we don't want blind people.
Yeah, I know. That's why I haven't been back in so long.
That's why we
one was enough.
Yeah. That's why we have the step that gets into the studio.
Yeah. We have that tripwire.
You know what? I hate to, and I hate to admit it too. Those songs that you played, I used to have that 45.
I mean, you're old.
I used to be a collector. I used to collect a lot of that old music.
Well, then you're really old, or you collected old stuff.
Actually, I'd like to replace a lot of that. I don't know if a lot of that stuff is.
I guarantee you, it's all on CD somewhere available. You
MP3.
Go online. You See, go
that's
online.
My problem. I don't know where to find this.
Well,
stuff.
Have Jeannie go online. Google McGuire Sisters Music. Every bit of it is digital. I promise you. She could download all their stuff.
As long as they haven't taken it and re-recorded it, and I've bought so many things where people have. I can't think of a real.
Are you talking about the re-recorded with different artists?
No, the same artist, but they've added orchestra.
Or taken out all that
Yeah, I agree, Tina. I wasn't going to
It's kind
that.
Of fun hearing that little hiss of the
record
player.
You can almost always find the original recording. It's just been made digital. It's you may not hear a record pop. I don't particularly care to hear that.
Oh,
anyway.
I don't know that I care about
or
that.
Or scratches, but it's there. I promise you it's out there. So what else is going on?
Oh, well, I just finished another season of Beatball.
Okay.
For
those who don't know, that's like baseball.
Right.
For blind people.
Right.
The ball has the beeping sound
in
it, right?
The beeping sound. I've been trying to get Dan out there. He lives, but he lives so far away, right, Dan?
What? Yeah. Where do you play?
At Afton
Athletic
Club.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Dan told me one time off the air. He said, "I can't stand blind."
Yeah, yeah. I know.
That's what he said.
Even though I
have that effect on a lot of people.
And then Dan said, "If I eventually go blind, I'll hate myself."
Too. Yeah.
No. He's really prejudiced.
Well, there are jokes about how I actually went blind, but we're not going to put that on.
No, no masturbation humor here. We don't go for that. We don't go for that stuff.
And Tina, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bob.
Good.
Thank you.
Good, Ian. Hey, Ian, you used to live in my area, in my part of the town.
What's that in?
I used to live in Overland.
Oh, okay, yes.
I
grew up
there?
In St. John. I sure did.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, was there any particular thing we can do for you today, Bob, or you just called to say hello?
I just called to say hello, and if anybody wants to contribute to the Blind Bob Fund, I can give out my address.
Well, the Frank Opinion Fund comes first.
Oh.
And then if there's any money left over, you can.
Oh, okay.
You know what you could do, though? You could tell them quickly what the Lighthouse is where you work.
We make a lot of products. We a lot of soap, a lot of aerosol. we employ blind people that have visual.
A plant like that, a company like that, could save a lot of money on electricity because you can have all your people working in the dark. I'm serious.
Yeah, the lights don't have to.
You don't need lights.
Right. But you have things like forklifts and.
Now, does a blind person run the forklift?
No.
Okay, that's good.
Sighted people. That was a miss.
No, I thought that was going to be something that I'd like to hear about, the blind forklift guy.
Yeah, I bet.
Now, that's some talent.
Do we ever figure out, too, is it a myth that your hearing
it's
is
myth.
Better?
It's a myth.
I mean, you just perfect what you have.
You rely on it more, but it doesn't get stronger.
No. As a matter of fact, mine's getting it. Actually, I may have to have a test.
Now, see, Bob, you missed a great opportunity there, because when Peon said, is it a myth that your hearing gets better, you could have said, huh?
Huh? Yeah.
You missed it. You just missed it.
It just didn't occur to me at that time.
How do people check out the Lighthouse? Do they have a website?
Yes, they do.
And what is that?
It is LHBIndustries.com.
That's a horrible website. Nobody's going to remember that. Why don't they just have lighthouse.com or something?
Yeah, well, you'd have to talk to them about that.
LHB, as in boy, industries.com or industry.com.
Right, industries, plural.
Or if you Googled Lighthouse for the blind, it'll pop up.
It probably will, although I think there are several of those throughout the country. But
then Google Lighthouse St. Louis, that's all.
Yeah, they could do that. Yeah. Yes, they could.
All right, Bob, always a pleasure.
You know what? I enjoy it every time I call in here. And you know what? Who do I set? Maybe next day I have a day off, or should I just call Dan and see when we can work this up?
Sure.
I would be glad to do this.
Sure. Just, let us know.
Okay.
All right, Bob.
I will do that.
Okay, big round of applause.
Thank
it's been
you
too
much.
Long for Blind Bob, everybody.
Yeah. Great guy.
A quick hit from Pat, then we have to take a break. Hello, Pat. How are you?
Hey, Frank. How are you? AM to PM.
Good, thank you.
Hallelujah. Hey, I wanted to pass along. I don't know if you're aware of that, but they have this this program. I call it a program. It's the March to the Arch.
Okay.
And it's obviously it's tomorrow at 9/11, and it goes from Mike Duffy's Bar and Grill.
Now, hang on a second. Is this some kind of charity thing?
Yeah, it raises money for the USO.
All right, here's what we don't like to do.
Okay.
What we don't like to do is what we're doing right now, and I don't want to be a jerk, but you need to email me in advance, because what happens is if we do this, then anybody with any event just starts calling and thinking they can just turn the show into a, hey, I got something going on, and I got something going on. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. No, I understand.
I like to have a little advance notice, but here's what I will do. Rather than be a complete jerk, since you're already on here, in the shortest form possible, tell me where, what, when.
It's from Mike Duffy's Bar and Grill in Chesterfield, and it's a 21-mile march to the Arch, and there are stops along the way.
Okay.
And I shouldn't say fundraise, because it's not designed for that. It's a byproduct, for lack of a better term, but it's just a support. There's no charge. You just show up, and you wear something comfortable, and there are stops along the way.
Well, what's the point of it? Does it raise money for anything?
It does. It's more remembrance. For, you know, the firefighters and all everybody that died on 9/11.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for that, Pat.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, Frank.
Uh-huh.
That's a long way to walk.
I hate to do that to people, but here's the deal. If you have an event or something, and that was a fat commercial for Mike Duffy's, obviously, and there's no charity involved, no money raised, it's a good cause, it's a good thing to remember. But I'd prefer that you just drop me a note and say, here's what, and most of it we won't do. Just because you'd have to be on my end to understand that if we do nothing but if we do too much of that stuff, then listeners respond with, hey, I'm not listening to hear charity after charity after charity. I'm listening for stupid, crazy, dumb stuff, juvenile stuff. That's what we're here for. Thompson Price is here for a specific reason, too, and that is to let you know that when the day comes that you want to remodel your kitchen or your bathroom or your home entertainment room, it might not even be a day. It might come to you in the middle of the night. Do you ever have in the middle of the night when you think of something and you wake up and you go, holy cow, I can't believe I thought of that while I was asleep. Have you ever heard that?
Mm-hmm.
I actually have. I've thought of things in my sleep. And then you want to make a note of it. So it might be in the middle of you might be dreaming about your ugly kitchen, dreaming that you're walking into a brand new kitchen. It can happen. It can be a reality. It's not going to happen for $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000. I'll make that clear right up front. They're not in the business of doing cheap kitchen makeovers where you sort of cosmetically cover up some bad stuff to make it seem like a new kitchen. They're in the total kitchen and bathroom and home entertainment room remodeling business. And if that's what you want to do, then you're going to want to do it right. Because if you don't, two things will happen. You'll never be completely happy with it. You'll look at it, and every day you'll think, I wish we had done this right. And the other thing that'll happen is eventually you'll end up doing it again. Now you've done it twice. So just do it right the first time. Thompson Price, not associated with any other kitchen and bath company. It's just Thompson Price Kitchens, Baths, Home. Showroom is on Manchester, about a half mile east of 270 on the north side, next to McAllister's Deli in De Pere in the shopping center with TJ Maxx. Or go to this website, thompsonprice.com.
With a look at traffic, here's Tim Weiland with your Golden Oak Lending traffic. Tim?
Hey, Tina, how you doing?
Hey, doing great, Tim.
You know what I got to do today?
No.
I got to meet Cedric.
Oh, did you? Did you have your shoe shine?
Yeah, came on out, and he was outside, stopped and talked to him. What a nice guy.
Yes, he is. He's a very nice guy.
Got to get some people out there for
him. Yeah, you do. Bring some boots.
Yeah, all right. All right, what do we have? Southbound 170, you've got some stop-and-go traffic between Del Mar and Galleria Parkway. Southbound 270 is a little bit slow now. Manchester down through Doherty Ferry. If you're traveling westbound 64, starting to get the usual slowdown, Hampton through Big McCausland. Slow again from 270 through Mason. And then we've got stalls on northbound 55 at Potomac and northbound 55 at 4500 South Broadway. And this traffic report is brought to you by Centrum, with quality ingredients backed by 30 years of science, so you know you're at your best. Centrum, always your most complete. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
A year ago, Jim McMillan went missing from the Inside Out show. Now we can't find John Shea, so we conducted auditions to find the new John and Jim.
Hi, this is John Shea, Mr. Fix-It.
Hi, this is Jim McMillan.
Next.
Hey, it's John. It's
Oi.
Hey, it's John Shea, Mr. Fix-It.
Hey, Jim McMillan here.
Next.
This is John Shea. It's as big as a chocolate chip cookie.
This is Jim McMillan. Welcome to Outdoors Whatever.
Next.
Hey, this is John Shea, Mr. Fix-It.
Oh, man.
Hey, this is Jim McMillan.
Okay, forget it. The management regrets to inform you that Inside Out Show is on hiatus. Will we ever find John and Jim? Will the Inside Out Show return? Stay tuned for the conclusion of the search for John and Jim on the Big 550 KTRS.
Susie Orman on life insurance.
Susie, I've got life insurance through work. That's enough, isn't it?
I don't think so. You know, the truth of the matter is you need enough insurance to generate the income to replace what your salary is in case you were to die. So if you're making $50,000 a year, chances are you need more than what you have at work. Check out Term Life Insurance.
A man 43 in excellent health can get a 10-year, $500,000 term life insurance policy through SelectQuote for under $27 a month. For your free quote, call 1-800-900-1537. 1-800-900-1537. 1-800-900-1537. Or go to selectquote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Be honest. Will owning a bigger TV help you get ahead in life? Will another pair of shoes make you a better person? Probably not. But what if you could speak another language? If acquiring a new language excites you more than acquiring more stuff, then wait till you hear this. As part of its biggest language learning event in history, Rosetta Stone is giving away demos of its powerful language learning software absolutely free. For your free demo, call 1-800-933-5259. And Rosetta Stone has made language learning more convenient than ever. Learn on your computer or iPad, then practice on the go with your smartphone or MP3 player without ever opening a book or memorizing boring vocabulary again. Do you want more stuff, or do you want a language that will last a lifetime? After all, it's all about priorities. To try a free demo of this powerful language learning software, call 1-800-933-5259. Again, get your free demo now. 1-800-933-5259. That's 1-800-933-5259.
Hi, it's Trish Gazelle for Star Coins and Stamps. Maybe your grandparents left you a couple coins or maybe some stamps and you don't know what to do with them. This is the perfect place to go. You want to stay local and see what they can give you for those coins and stamps. Or maybe you're looking to invest your money. Not in the stock market right now. No, that's nuts. You could buy gold and silver. This is a great deal, and a lot of people are doing it, investing in this stuff, and the only place to do it is Star Coins and Stamps. Nancy's the owner. She's been doing business here for 28 years. Her dad collected coins, her dad collected stamps, and she learned the business, and they're paying top dollar for this stuff. Also, if you have some jewelry that you'd like to get rid of, or any flatware, or scrap metal, this is the place to take it. They're going to give you a free verbal appraisal. Just bring in your merchandise, and they're going to give you an honest estimate. It's located at 500 South 5th Street in St. Charles, or call them at 636-949-2203. Star Coins and Stamps.
As a St. Louisan, you like to hear about good St. Louis success stories. Well, that's Jennifer Williams from St. Louis Closet Company. 20 years ago, she started St. Louis Closet Company, and today, it's as good as it's ever been. 100% custom closets manufactured right here in St. Louis. No prefabricated parts, no standard sizes, 100% truly made and manufactured right here in St. Louis. St. Louis Closet Company has a brand new showroom on Big Bend in Maplewood. To find out more, 314-781-9000. Call them today. They'll come out to your house and give you a free in-home estimate. They'll take that space and they'll turn it into closets. They'll go to their Maplewood facility. They'll manufacture it and they'll custom make it. Then they'll turn back to your house and get it installed in just one day. St. Louis Closet Company. All sorts of deals by a St. Louis company. 314-781-9000 or St. Louis Closet Code. 20 plus years of being St. Louis, St. Louis Closet Company.
Hi, St. Louis. This is the roofer for Lane House Construction. And I want to tell you, Lane House Construction is now an official sponsor of the St. Louis Rams. Also, I want to invite you to come visit us at our new Lane House Construction Party Porch. The Party Porch is a great place for Ram fans to hang out before the game. Remember, Lane House Construction is your local team for roofing, siding, windows, and gutters. And we're A-plus rated members of the BBB. So give us a call at 314-845-2166 or in St. Peter. Is at 636-724-2000 or lanehouseconstruction.com.
You have teams in Tucson, Tennessee, and Taipei, and you need to work together. No problem. Welcome to GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix, the easy-to-use, extraordinarily powerful way to meet online. Simply launch or join a meeting with one click from any computer, then share screens and webcams in real time, and review and edit documents together. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and enter promo code 45. GoToMeeting with HD Faces. Try it free today.
Mother-in-law.
This is a weird thought. I think it's weird.
Before I left the house today, it occurred to me a particular thing that I just happened to think of that has a lot of taste. It's a very specific, identifiable taste, but has no smell. And I got to thinking about it, and there's more than one. Now, can you think of one? No smell at all, but immediately identifiable taste. And not just a mild taste, but a very obvious, whoo, I know what that is, but no smell.
Salt?
Yes. Wow. And sugar. Ooh. Now, here's very sweet, very salt, but there's no smell. You can't smell sugar. Now, what else would you think of that has a real powerful taste? But pepper you could smell.
Oh, yeah.
But salt and sugar have no smell.
I can't think of
it. I know this is not anything that can do anybody any good. You're not going to get a degree or pass a test. But it ought to be on a test in school. What two distinctive tastes, what items have distinctive taste but no smell?
Yeah, because pretty much every other spice.
Not just spice, but everything has a smell. Apple has a smell. Peach has a smell. Banana has a smell. Pepper,
and the other herbs.
Chili, cinnamon, spices.
Herbs. Yeah.
But salt and sugar, not any smell at all.
That may be brown sugar, but not high.
Yeah, you can smell brown sugar.
You can smell brown sugar.
Yeah. That's whatever they add to it.
But how about the, is there a smell for sweet? I don't think there's such a smell. Ooh, that smells sweet, or that smells salty. No, because sugar and salt have no smell.
Yeah.
Huh. Chocolate smells like cocoa.
Yeah.
It doesn't smell like sugar. Write this down, folks. Write all this down.
Learning
because
show.
If you're at a cocktail party and you want to impress somebody, throw the salt and sugar thing at them. You'll end up in bed. I almost guarantee it. How you pronounce this guy's name? Moshe?
Moshe.
Moshe, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Moshe, how are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing
good,
great.
Moshe.
What can we do for you?
AM and PM.
Thank you.
All right.
Hallelujah. Okay. I wanted to comment about today, what happened, what was on 60 Minutes last night.
Yes.
And you were talking about it. I was driving home. And no, I didn't watch it because I was distracted by something. But I think the whole publicity of what happened with Bin Laden was a big mistake. I'll explain to you why.
Okay. And you think it was a mistake? Let's start here. To just announce that we killed him?
No. Okay. Hear me out.
Okay.
What's a mistake to publicize? How was it? How happened? Who killed him? Who did? Who cares? You know, they put this guy and his family in danger. You just mentioned earlier that where he grew up and who's his parents and how his parents, he ate of this. Who cares? What I care about is the result. This animal was killed by United States. That's it. Who did it? How we did it? It's not important.
I agree. While I'm fascinated by it and I enjoyed his story, I think the smart thing would have been to just say, we got him.
That's it.
Bottom line.
No, I agree. I agree with you completely. I think we've endangered some people's lives.
I'm sure that was moving, was powerful, and I agree with you. I come from a country, I grew up in a country, that the one of the most, one of the best intelligence in the world, you will agree with me if I tell you that is Israel.
Okay, true.
They will do things like this almost on a daily basis for survival. The Israelis, they grew up there, they won't know about that. And it's not allowed to talk about it even after 30 years. Let me tell you about something else. Everybody knew who Eichmann was, right?
Right, Adolf Eichmann.
And Israel kidnapped him and brought him to Israel, right?
Right.
For 50 years, we know what happened. Okay, they brought him, they put him, whatever, they killed him. Everything we knew, but was not allowed for anyone to publicize any book or anything, or to identify themselves, or to publicize themselves, who were the people. Only till 5 years ago, the one who actually caught Eichmann was here in St. Louis and wrote a book after 50 years.
Wow.
You see how they keep secret? Who cares about this animal was killed?
Well, I'm not here. Natural curiosity. I will tell you, knowing the details is fascinating to me, but I don't think that I should know them.
No, exactly.
See?
And I'm sure some journalists will come and say, well, the public, they have the right to know. No, I don't want to know.
Yeah, I still don't know the motivation for the guy writing the book. I don't get that.
I'll give you the motivation. You agree with me? Money.
Well, I would think that has to be it, because even if the White House's account is different than the truth, you don't have to write a book.
I don't care. Fine. You know what? I don't care if the president himself killed him. Who cares what he was shot in the head or in the hand on his leg? Or, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying.
And the other thing is, I'm sure you will hear it about this, that some lawyer, smart lawyer, will go after this guy, will say, well, you just admitted he was without weapon. You killed someone without giving him the chance to protect himself, and he was not a threat to your life. Why did you shoot him? I'm sure something like that. Why to talk about it? He is not worth it, even all of this. He was killed. That's it.
I couldn't agree with you more. Moshe, thank you. Well said.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
As far as a lawyer saying you shot him and he was unarmed, no, that's never going to happen. He's Osama bin Laden,
right?
And there were weapons in his room, two of them. An AK-47 and a handgun. He was too much of a coward to even grab a weapon and fight. This is a guy like Charles Manson, who had other people do his dirty work. He had no backbone, no spine, couldn't defend himself if and when, and his life did depend on it.
He's
a yellow, spineless coward.
Women as shields.
He had absolutely. Women and kids. He's a piece of crap. He's dead. Moshe is right. Although, I can see how it's tempting if you're one of the SEALs and you hear the White House release a version that's not accurate and you want to set it straight. I get that, but I don't know that you have to go to this these extremes to do a book and every detail. I agree. While I find it fascinating and I love hearing it, I don't know that it's necessary. And I think that, look, you say, well, SEAL Team 6, don't think in this modern age of technology, communication, and intelligence gathering, there aren't people who can find out who those people are in SEAL Team 6. They can't. And it may take a year or two or three or four or five. It took us all these years, 11, to get that guy, 10 years when it happened. Maybe 9 years down the road, one of them will get popped in the head by somebody who's a sympathizer. It's just not worth it. It's not worth it. One more, then we'll take a break here. Here's Terry. Hello, Terry.
Hey, how you doing?
Great. How are you?
You're talking about your curiosity and stuff. My brother, a long time ago, went to New Zealand for hitchhiking, and he was asking people. He was asking one guy that picked him up hitchhiking. He said, "How do Americans feel, or how do New Zealanders feel about Americans?" He goes, "Well, let me tell you." He goes, "How many Americans can you fit in a matchbox?" And my brother goes, "I don't know." He goes, "All of them. Just tell them what's inside is none of their damn business."
Okay. That's how they feel about us. In other words, we stick our nose into everybody else's business.
If you tell Americans it's none of their business, Americans are going to find out what's involved.
We'll make it our business.
There you go.
All right, Terry, thank you.
God bless America.
You bet. All right. Okay. I think I get it, but I'm not sure I get it.
Yeah, I got it.
Sometimes we've stuck our nose in because we had to and nobody else would. Let's not forget that. Sometimes when everybody else walks away, who is it that steps in? Us. It's not always a bad thing. Before we break, I walk back to the back of this little studio complex here, and our salespeople work in the back, and they're in cubicles. Thank goodness I don't have to work in a cubicle, a 3-foot-high cubicle. Because you know what I heard when I walked back there?
What?
I heard like one salesperson on the phone next to another. The person next to you can hear every word you say.
Yeah.
You folks that have to work in a cubicle on the phone, I got to tell you, that ought to be against the law. There ought to be some sort of like privacy act or something. Because what if Joe Schmuck, who's next to you, has a special technique he's developed, all right?
Oh,
you
yeah.
hear it, then you steal it.
Right.
And you use it. Or what if he's on the phone and it's like a very personal family thing and you're sitting over there on the other side of the cubicle and you can hear all that stuff. And by the way, the cubicle thing is kind of worthless anyway. It doesn't block out anything. You might not be able to see the legs of the gal next to you, but you can just peek over and see, you know, their head or their I don't know.
Or maybe you're on the phone and you hear somebody say, well, yeah, I heard this business is really interested in advertising. Then the person next to you hears the name of the place and hurries up and gets on the phone.
Steals it from you. No, that's a great point. It's a lead. And then Bill Schmickle, who's next to your cubicle, he calls up and follows up on the lead and steals the business from you. And don't think radio people won't steal from each other. They do it all the time. A real quick thank you not only to everybody who wrote me about Paul Harris Friday, and I got more email Friday about Paul Harris than I've ever gotten about anything that had anything to do with the Friday show or any other show. And apparently the world was thrilled to hear Paul Harris on Friday. So thank you for that. I appreciate those emails. Take a moment here and acknowledge the longest running advertiser on this show, over 20 years, American Equity Mortgage. American Equity Mortgage is one of those advertisers that people will mention in emails they send me to sort of let me know how long they've been listening. In other words, if someone says, I remember when American Equity Mortgage started on the show, well, that tells me they've been listening 20 years. That's a reference point. American Equity Mortgage in that 20-plus years, and I think it's about to hit 21, has opened a lot of people's eyes to the fact that they were throwing money away. Money that wasn't deductible, even though it's interest, because it's wasted interest on credit cards. There's a much bigger interest rate on the money you're borrowing on your credit card, and that's what you're doing. When you use a credit card, you're borrowing money. You're borrowing money from the credit card company, and until you pay them back, if you don't pay at all at the end of the month, you're going to pay them in payments, interest, no different than a car payment or a house payment. There is one big difference, the interest rate. It's outrageous. And you're going to pay it for a long, long time unless you let American Equity Mortgage, if you're a homeowner, unless you let them show you how to use the equity in your home to pay all that stuff off. It's a real simple process, and they work very fast. AmericanEquity.com or 314-878-9999. American Equity Mortgage.
With your Golden Oak Lending traffic, here's Tim Weiland. Hey, Tim.
Thanks, Tina. We want to thank a KTRS Frank Opinion listener because they called up and said we've got a pretty nasty accident on westbound 64 just after Timberlake Manor, and it is. We've got three left lanes blocked. Only the right lane is getting through at this time. Traffic is backing up awful quick now. We've got slow traffic already from Ballas all the way out through Timberlake Manor. Southbound 270 looks like it's slow now from about the Clayton Road overpass down through Doherty Ferry. Eastbound 270, a little bit heavy at Lindbergh through 170. It opens up after that. Looks pretty good at to the Chain of Rocks Bridge. Downtown eastbound 64, that's slowing near Grand to Union Station. Then it opens up and you look a pretty good run to the Poplar Street Bridge. This traffic report is brought to you by Applebee's. Come join Applebee's for their September Kids Eat Free promotion. One free kids meal per adult entree. Beverages not included. Ends September 30th. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Hi, this is John Shea inviting you to join me and my special surprise guest host as we broadcast the Inside Out Show from Outdoor Living this Saturday at our new time, 11 to 1 o'clock. Outdoor Living is at Big Bend just east of I-44 in Kirkwood. There'll be free food, door prizes, big value on their big deck sale. This is their fall deck sale, their fall deck sale expo. Everything you need for a deck, they'll have at Outdoor Living. Be there, don't miss it. Inside Out Show, Outdoor Living. See you Saturday.
Hey, over here on the stove. It's me, the cooking oil in your skillet. Do you know that every time you dump me down the sink or toilet, I stick to the inside of your sewer pipes? Yep, it's true. I've got quite a buildup going on down there. Of course, it's not just me. I've got friends who help. Butter, margarine, shortening, meat fats, dairy products, greasy sauces. And I'll let you in on a secret. One of these days, we're going to block the entire pipe. Don't think that running hot water down the drain will keep me from clogging. Nope. As soon as I get a little further down, that pipe is plenty cool enough for me to cling to its walls. What you can do to prevent blockage is to let me cool, pour me into an empty container like a jar, and then put the lid on and place me in the trash. And if you also scrape plates and pots into the trash instead of the garbage disposal, you just might prevent a big sewer backup. So please don't put me down the sink drain anymore. A girl gets tired of being dumped. Check out MSD's website for more information. www.stlmsd.com.
The Big 550 KTRS St. Louis.